This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Everybody, welcome, what the puckers, what the puck heads, all you guys out there. Thanks for listening to What the Puck. Happy New Year. It's a new year, still same old lockout. Called What the Lockout because they won't even give us pucks, man. Skyping in with me, of course, we got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
Not too much, just watching what's going on with these NHL and Players Association meetings. What's going on over there?
Everything's going good. I'm doing the same. I'm glued to Twitter. As we're talking right now, surprisingly, the NHL and the Players Association are doing this little thing called bargaining, and it's a new thing that the NHL has decided to adopt in the last week or so, and it's not just a take-it-or-leave-it deal. It's actually, you know, bargaining and haggling with these guys. It's kind of something new that the NHL has picked up. I don't know where they caught this from.
Yeah, you know, it was like I tweeted the other day where I was surprised that they weren't no one had taken their ball and gone home at this point. No one stormed out and just come out and complained about the other side. So at this point, I think we'll take that as a good sign that no one has gotten upset and run home and blamed everybody else for their problems.
Now, leading up to this, you know, this has been a back and forth. The NHL presented a new agreement. The players came back with something else. The NHL then came back with something else. Now, the players are presenting their newest agreement on the table right now as we speak. But from what I hear, about a week or so ago, right after we recorded, of course, the owners went to the NHL, went to Gary Bettman and said, we cannot lose another season. Things are getting really bad out there. You need to get something done and get it done now. And we were talking right before the show, and you brought up the fact that NBC is also not really happy about what's been going on. So it seems like the NHL is being, you know, there's a lot of pressure on these guys right now because you got a lot of angry businessmen out there that are ready to not support your business.
Yeah, Alan Walsh, who's a sports agent, he tweeted out a comment from John Miller, who's the president of programming for the NBC Sports Network. He ended up speaking with the Boston Globe, and he said, "We never had an indication that this situation with the NHL was going to last until January. It was always our understanding that this was going to be a tweak and fix." So clearly, NBC and the NBC Sports Network are not pleased with what's going on. They're the guys that give the NHL a lot of money through their TV contract. And if they're not happy, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the owners, and especially Gary Bettman, to get this thing done. So it's nice to see that they've been going back and forth with different proposals. I mean, each side's gone back to their side, what is it, twice now?
It seems like,
different ideas. And there's even information being leaked out, so we don't necessarily know if it's true, but there is information being leaked out that they have agreed on certain things that are big parts of this collective bargaining agreement. The biggest one is that the Players Association and the owners have apparently agreed to a 10-year CBA. So that's definitely good to have, that we won't be having this problem, hopefully, for another 10 years, which I'm sure 10 years from now that they'll be back having another lockout, because that's just a thing they seem to like to do. The other thing that I find very interesting is that they're sort of going along the line of the NBA and having a limit on contracts in the number of years. It looks like the limit is going to be 6 years, 7 if you're re-signing your own player. I don't know how you feel about this. I find it interesting, especially since a lot of the owners are the ones throwing out the 13-year deals like Minnesota just did. So I think that's interesting, but I kind of like it. I do like that the teams, if they're trying to re-sign their own guys, that they're given this sort of advantage by being able to add on an extra year. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know, how do you feel about that?
It is very interesting. It is something that is – You look at some agreements, like you can look at Ovi's, and that's a pretty long deal for the Capitals. Having kind of these limited contracts, really, it affects the game. It might even keep it a little bit fresher. But here's something that I find really interesting. When the talks broke down last month, we were told by the NHL that the five-year agreements are the hill we die on. Now, I don't know if
he was looking at the wrong hill.
Maybe the hill we die on was more like a slope with a quick fall off, maybe. But that's what they said. That's the hill we die on. We will not leave that hill. But now they're going to 6 years in the last agreement that's been put out to the media. Now, either the owners got to him like we were discussing before, or they've kind of realized that Donald Fair is kind of playing hardball and that he's going to wait these guys out, and he knew that these guys were going to do it. So it seems like the hill we die on is kind of negotiable now, which is what they should have been doing in the first place. But now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, because January 11th, Bettman has pretty much said that's the deadline to so there's no canceled season. And we're getting pretty close to that.
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that tonight, I believe, is when the Players Association is allowed to file a disclaimer tonight that essentially, I believe, would break up the union and allow the players to be able to sue the league, saying that the lockout is illegal. So I don't think it's a coincidence, even though the NHL has come out and said that, well, we don't care about that. You're lying. Yes, you do, because that certainly complicates matters. It worked before with the NFL, and I think it would work again with the NHL. I think they're trying to avoid having that problem, as well as the January 11th deadline to be able to have – although I guess it's an unofficial deadline – but to be able to have a regular any sense of a regular season. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. It's wait and see. I do think it's kind of interesting that the NHL has invited some of these reporters out from the cold in New York City and into the offices there in this one big conference room. And I think it was Pierre LeBrun who tweeted a picture, and I see a big NHL wall there. So I tweeted back to him, of course, saying, I think you guys were invited to that room. It's all a ploy, because now we're going to have the players line up in front of this NHL wall and announce the lockout's over. Of course, that's me just, making a joke and trying to make light of the ordeal. But the NHL is at least welcoming these reporters in. So it seems like everyone's not so testy as they were last month.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a connection between inviting the reporters in and I think it's just cold.
I'm just grasping all
straws.
It's just
really cold outside right now. I think they're trying to be nice. It was almost, I thought it was funny that they actually met on New Year's Eve day, and everyone's kind of like, guys, it's going to be a little crowded. Somebody might be a little late down in New York on New Year's Eve.
Nothing happens there on New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah, there's no one around. Well, I don't understand anybody could have been late. But, it was one of those things where you're like, really, guys? You couldn't have picked, maybe earlier in the day? Just don't stay late, because then no one's getting out of there or being able to make it. So, but yeah, I guess you could – there's definitely some interesting aspects going on tonight. I think that banner, whatever you want to call it, that sort of sheet up that has the NHL logo, that's probably normally there. But then again, maybe not. Maybe they take it down, kind of iron it out, make it look nice, put it back up. Other ways to waste time without having an actual season.
Right. Well, you see.
We'll see.
I've been hoping that, good news has been coming. I've been kind of, reaching out and trying to grab any kind of hope that I can, because the Caps app on my iPhone, that got updated this week. And I was like, well, what could they be updating it for? I mean, come on, there's not really any Caps news out there. So maybe that's a sign the lockout's ending, because now they're going to start putting stuff about the Capitals players coming back. Who knows? So I'm the guy who's still got hope in this, and cautious optimism is the term that everybody's been using about this. But it seems right now, getting down to the wire, getting down to the absolute deadline, it seems as if right now things are moving in the right direction. Now, who's to say, like last month when Donald Fair said, we put a deal out, everything's good, we'll be good, and then he gets a voicemail and says, well, nope, everything's wrong, sorry. So at any point, this could take a sharp right turn off of this road that we're on right now. But as of right now, cautious optimism, it looks like things are going in the right direction.
Well, the interesting thing that I think they still have to talk about is what they're going to do about the salary cap, and if they're going to be able to include an amnesty buyout sort of thing so teams aren't penalized. Because as of right now, it looks like what I've been reading is that they're going to have, if they have a season, that the salary cap ceiling is going to be at $70.2 million, where it was going to be if we had never dealt with any of this BS to begin with. Then next year, they would go down, it would drop to $60 million, which is a significant drop if you have to be able to re-sign your own players. And there's a lot of teams that are well over that. So, you're talking 8, maybe 9, 10 million you have to get rid of off your roster. So you got to think they're going to have to include in some way, shape, or form an amnesty buyout, where a team would be able to just pay the player out, just make them go away essentially, pay them the rest of their money, and then they're gone. It doesn't count against your cap. Because right now, if you buy a player out, I don't know the specifics of how it works in terms of the money, but basically it works out where that player's contract is sort of off your books, but it's still included in your cap hit. Whereas, for example, the Caps bought out Tyler Sloan. Remember him? He was fun.
Oh, yeah.
The Caps – yeah, Tyler Sloan. Terrible. I can't believe he was on the team. Tyler Sloan, they had him on the team, and they bought him out. His contract was only for another maybe 2 years, but his extent, his cap account for the next maybe 1 year or two after his contract was going to end at a lesser cap hit. It was something like, I don't know, $300,000 or something. Not a huge cap hit, but it's still there. So if they have an amnesty buyout, the player just completely goes away, no more problems. So it makes you wonder who – I don't know if you thought about it, but who do you think that they would buy out? Right now, my easy target is going to be someone like Joel Ward. I think that's either him or Jeff Schultz. Those are the two guys I think you would buy out right away. But there could be some argument for Alex Ovechkin to try and lessen his cap hit by buying him out and then re-signing him. I don't know if they're going to do that. But then, I mean, some people said maybe – I've seen Brooks Like is an opportunity if you want to bring his cap hit down. But they don't have that many guys that are signed up, I guess, for a lot of seasons. So I mean, there's a couple of options there. Wano, what do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of options. You know, Joel Ward, I think, is the guy you kind of look at this point because he's a guy that I think the Capitals overpaid for, and he had a good postseason, you know, in Game 7 against the Bruins. But in a normal NHL season, it's 82 games. And up until that last game in Game 7 in the postseason, he really didn't have anything to write home about. He's a guy that, you know, gets a lot of penalties, and there were a few games Dale Hunter even sat him out for. So he's somebody you do that to. A guy who doesn't really have that big of a hit, but like Roman Hammerlink, I'm not a huge fan of him, and I wouldn't mind seeing him gone from the Capitals organization. He's a veteran, though, so he's got some experience, but he didn't seem like he was very happy last season with the Capitals, but we'll see what happens. And you got to worry about actually, it's not us worrying, it's the players, too. This is a big thing for them as well, because this is a big hit to their pension. It's not just running a team and getting your salary down to where it has to be. It's these guys taking a hit, and they don't want to take as big a hit in that first season, being let go by all these different teams trying to get to that $60 million mark. So they're trying to buy a little bit more time from the league.
Well, that's why we've been having some trouble with whether there's going to be an amnesty buyout or not. I mean, if you look at, I agree with the pensions. The players don't necessarily like the idea of an amnesty buyout, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. To some extent, it'll be nice because they just straight up get their money now as opposed to potentially being bought out later on or traded or sent down to the minors. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if we do have a season, if they're able to get something out of this and have a 10-year CBA, if we do end up having an amnesty buyout. Or if we do end up having some sort of – they're going to have to do something. Because to be able to get these teams down from wherever they're at now – I mean, some teams are under $60 million. But right now I'm bringing it up on capgeek.com, which is a great website to look up the salary cap stuff if you're sort of a salary cap nerd like I tend to be. The Boston Bruins are currently at just under $69 million. So they're going to have to kill off $9 million from their payroll between this season if we have one and next. That's a lot of money that you're going to have to get rid of. And I don't know if it's necessarily going to be possible. Minnesota Wild are way up there, the Canucks, the Flames. Right now the Capitals are sitting at about 63.5, a little over 63.5 million. So if you get rid of a guy like a Joel Ward and then they get rid of a couple other guys, because after this season, Roman Hamerlich's contract is up. Tom Pody, although he's been on long-term injured reserve, so his contract doesn't necessarily count against the cap hit, but he's off the books after this year. John Erskine, I know he's your buddy. His 1.5 comes off. Carl Alsner, they're going to have to re-sign him, so there goes some of that money that you're losing. We'll be going back into him. So if they bring this cap ceiling down to $60 million, you got to give teams some way to be able to get down easier than just having to buy players out. And it's still going to count against them. Or guys is getting traded around so that other teams have to bring their cap floor up. So it's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing, a lot of moves, and you could see a lot of teams be able to pick up some pretty talented players just because teams have to trade them because they just cost too much.
It's going to be a very interesting off season whenever the season does get started. We're already talking about the off season. We don't even have a season started yet. So that'll be very fun to watch. It'll be a very different trade and free agency than what we're used to. I think that the only thing I can really say about this is that you've got a lot of young talent in the AHL. This might be the best opportunity for them because they might be coming in a little bit cheaper than a lot of these stars out there. And if people in the organization, like some of these younger talent, younger players, they might be bringing them up, quicker than they normally would.
It'll be interesting to see. It depends how much they cost, but I think you're definitely going to see – it probably will take a year or two, but I agree, you'll start to see a lot of younger guys get more time to play because they cost less. Or you're going to see a lot of older guys start making less money or taking contracts that'll get them less money because they still want to play, but they have to fit under the cap ceiling. So it's certainly been interesting to see in the couple of off seasons, but to have an off season, you have to have a regular season.
Absolutely. And hopefully we do have that season, and it's looking brighter every day, but you know, of course we just said it, you know, the wheels could always fall off. And, you know, we're going to transition a little bit here to Caps news, and there was an article that came out earlier about Jason Chimera. He's back in town. He was practicing at Kettler, and even he had something to say about the lockout, and he said, you know, everything is very hush-hush, but it seems like even he agrees it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'd read into that. I know you sent me a message about it, and I was like, well, I wonder how much he actually is. I don't believe he's attending the meeting, so I don't know. The meetings are going right now in New York, so I don't know if he really knows what's going on. But I think we've got a lot of players that are sort of – I've been reading that they're sort of interested, and they think that this thing's going to end shortly. So, you know, there's definitely signs of optimism out there, but I'm doing my best myself to not get optimistic because we all saw how that went about a month ago. But, you know, everybody's getting excited. It's nice to see that the players have hope. I guess it would be pretty bad if they came out and said, well, we're all screwed. Like, that probably wouldn't go over so well, and people would be a little upset. But, you know, there's optimism out there, and that's always good to see.
It just reminds me of that scene from The Office a couple years ago where Michael Scott thought that the whole place was going down, and he just comes out in front of everybody and goes, we're screwed. It's over.
Yeah. If that had happened, you could just see everyone go, oh, guys, really? What are you? No. Like, it's just almost as bad as Evander Kane with the money thing from the, what were we talking about, 2 weeks ago?
Right, on Twitter, yeah. You know, talking to the big pile of cash. Yeah. So that's really the only stuff going on stateside caps-wise. We do have some stuff going over in Europe. Dynamo Moscow, sorry. They got a little bit of news coming up. Our boy, Nicky Backstrom, looks like he's going to be week-to-week with a neck injury. He took a really nasty fall into the boards during a game, and you never want to see this, especially to one of your boys when he's playing across the pond. He's out, and everyone's saying, even Dynamo Moscow is like, oh, it's just a neck bruise. It's no big deal. But to me, that with a guy who's had concussion issues, you got to always take this stuff very seriously.
Yeah, it would figure that the lockout would end and the NHL would come back and Backstrom would be injured. It's going to happen like before. Yeah, he's out with a neck injury. They're saying it's week to week. We're not really sure exactly what's going on, but it certainly does not seem like if we were to have a regular season starting at the end of January, he may not be ready.
You know, he had that concussion that took him out, I think, for about 40 games last season because of a stupid elbow hit by Rene Bourque, who was with the Canadiens at the time.
Yeah, it was – I mean, I remember we were talking about that was a couple of months ago, and I went back and watched the clip on YouTube, and I got angry all over again just watching that because it's such a blatant hit. It wasn't like – you know, you go and you're playing and you're moving fast and you shoulder check a guy and your arm just kind of goes up with the momentum. No, he put his arm up. He aimed for his head, and then he struck. It was ridiculous. It was horrible. So to see that Backstrom got hurt again, it wasn't. I saw the video when Backstrom got hit in the KHL, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but he basically got hit into the boards. I believe he got checked from behind. He got hit in the numbers into the boards, and so it certainly looked bad. So I don't know if this is a neck injury, and now he's week to week. I mean, this could get, you know, it would figure that the lockout is potentially going to end, and now Backstrom's hurt.
Yeah, you never want to see something like that happen, especially when it's over in Europe, when it's one of your boys, you know, who should be playing over here in the U.S. for the Capitals, to see something like that happen. At least, I mean, this is the only silver lining in this whole situation is the fact that this wasn't such an illegal hit, because the Rene Bourque hit was, like, you know, after a whistle, it was just heading back to the bench, and this guy was just doing a cheap shot. This was at least a part of playing, it was a part of the game, and it may have been intentional, it may not have been. I haven't seen the entire video, but at least what they're doing, even over in Europe, where, you know, it might not be the best doctors, you know, that, like we have over in the U.S., but at least they're taking this seriously with his head, since he has a history of this, and it seems like at least he's getting the right attention that he needs right now to make sure he's going to be good to go, because we want him fresh for when this lockout ends. And it was weird. I sent this to you as well. The Russian media is, I don't know who thinks like this and who would actually publish stories like this and be like, oh no, it's official. It's official news. They were saying Backstrom moved back to the U.S. not because of a head injury, but because the lockout's over. I don't know how they're making this stuff up, but Backstrom's Swedish agent said, no, he's still over in Europe. He's not in the U.S. or anything.
Yeah, we always get these silly reports from Russia where it's oh no, we were just, it was translated wrong. No, it seems to be, and this happens a lot with European soccer, where reporters just kind of throw things out there and just kind of see what sticks. You know, for all we know, Backstrom came back to the U.S. to get his neck looked at. And then, you know, they're like, oh, he went home because the NHL, the lockout was ending. And you're like, no, that's not happening. So let's hope he came back because the lockout's coming to an end. But unfortunately, it does look like it's his neck.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have him back in the lineup. Hopefully he's okay. But, you know, Godspeed, Nick Backstrom. We want to see you back in D.C. as quickly as possible. In other Dynamo Moscow news, it's not really Dynamo Moscow news. It's personal news for our boy Ovi. Dude got engaged recently to his tennis girlfriend, Maria.
Yeah, you lucky bastard. Ovechkin got engaged to Maria Kirilenko, so congrats to them. That's pretty cool. I think the best thing that's going to come out of this is that maybe after a game or over the weekend, if they're not playing for whatever reason, because there's a lockout, that instead of going out and partying with his buddies, he's going to go home to the woman. You know, so no more going out and drinking at a bar unless she does that too, in which case we're kind of screwed. But hopefully this means he'll just be going home and not drinking quite as much and partying and focusing on hockey. Because we saw him when she was at the Olympics and how like nervous how he got. And I think that sort of thing and him, you know, almost dating and now engaged to an athlete, it makes me wonder if it's going to change his preparation. If we're going to see a refocused and redetermined and almost angry Alex Ovechkin when he comes back to D.C.
Now, you did see that sick goal that he had for Dynamo Moscow recently, where he like he always does, he falls onto his butt and still gets a goal. He gets up, man, and he's screaming. It's that fire that Ovi's been missing the last couple seasons here. So it was great to see that again. Yeah, like you said, hopefully him getting married to an athlete kind of keeps him competitive because she's got a gold in the Olympics. He doesn't. So that's something to think about here. I think it's great for him, but it makes me think, you know, Ovi back in the day said the best way to prep for a game is to have sex. And it's something he would try to do before each game in D.C. So now that he's kind of got like a guarantee there, hopefully that'll, you know, calm him down and get all that important rage on the ice.
See, that's just too much information. You need to kind of keep that stuff on the down low. Like, someone asks, what do you do before a game? Oh, well, I stretch. Like, just say that. You don't need to give us the rest of the information. But I don't know. That's, you know, congrats to him. And hopefully this is, we get to see. If you're Adam Oates, I mean, you got to be sitting there going, watching him play over in Russia and going, this is going to be fun. Yeah, I got this sort of just, it's like having a new toy, you know, on Christmas where you're just like, oh, look at this. It should be highly fun to coach. Just hope that it's not just Ovechkin, that he's got Backstrom too. Because without those two, it certainly would create some interesting line movements. You know, you got to move Mike Ribeiro around. You move Johansson back to the center. But none of this matters unless if these talks don't go well tonight.
Yeah, that's what it all hinders on. It all hinders about these talks. And the only thing really these reporters are tweeting about is Dredger face, you know, from LeBron's tweet pic, the picture, and he's already been photoshopped into a couple different pictures. So hopefully we'll actually be talking about some real hockey stuff. This is like that night where the podium got famous.
Yeah, it's going to be the next thing. The podium is now Dredger face.
But anyway, you know, there is some actual hockey going on in the States. And for us, you know, it's what we always got to do. We got to go up 83 and talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, so some big news going on in Hershey, man. Braden Holtby named AHL Goaltender of the Month. That's got to be pretty cool for that guy.
Yeah, congrats to him. That's pretty awesome. He's named the AHL Goalie of the Month, like you just said, for December. He's been doing really great up in Hershey. It's just unfortunate that he's playing in Hershey because he should be playing in D.C. But right now, the Hershey Bears are up to third in their division at 16-14-2, good for 34 points. They are 11 points behind the division-leading Syracuse. So it seems like they're slowly starting to make their way up, and hopefully we'll start seeing more competitive Hershey Bears. I still have to get up to a game this year. I'm hoping to get up in the next couple of weeks.
I'm very excited, man. Coming up very soon. I think it's almost, I think it might be less than 2 weeks away. A little over 2 weeks away. The Outdoor Classic's happening. I got my confirmation from the Caps Road crew yesterday. So I'm excited to hop on the bus and head up to head up 83 and go check out the Hershey Bears Outdoor Classic, just like I did last year when they were up against Adirondack and Philly. So very excited to see those guys hit the ice this season. But, hey, man, I got to experience something really cool this past Friday. Me and my buddy Barry, we went up 83, took the two-hour trek to Reading, and we hit up the 7 o'clock game in Reading, Pennsylvania for the Royals. And it was quite an experience, man. We get in there. The arena isn't the biggest arena. It seats 7,000 people. And here's something I wanted to kind of discuss with you real quick. I saw the Reading Royals. There were about 4,000 people in attendance. The actual arena seats 7,000. Ovechkin's playing over in Russia right now in places that seat about 8,000 to 9,000. I can honestly tell you I can't believe that Ovechkin and the people over in Europe are seeing this guy so close on the ice playing a game, because I was sitting there going, I can't believe Ovi's playing in places this tiny. Because 7,000 people is nothing to, you know, that's a nice arena. I mean, they had Daniel Tosh there. He was on the sold-out wall in the Reading Sovereign Center wall, and that's a big crowd. But for a superstar like Ovi, I couldn't believe is over in Europe playing in places like this.
Yeah, it certainly seems like the KHL is not, or at least Dynamo is not drawing quite as well as apparently the ECHL. So it's interesting to see what's happened. I'm sure Ovechkin, as much as he likes playing in Russia, he'll be ready to come back and play in DC as soon as this whole thing ends. I'd like to go up to a Reading game. I think that'd be a lot of fun. 7,000, certainly not a huge crowd. But I got to ask you, how was the actual hockey, though? Because, I mean, you're down two levels from the NHL. I wonder if it was, you know, is it as good as I guess I would question whether which is better, the KHL hockey or at this point the ECHL hockey.
Well, you know what? I never got to check out a KHL live in person. I was hoping to do that in Brooklyn later this month, but they called off that game. The ECHL, the biggest thing I can tell you is that the players, they're tiny guys. Like, I'm used to seeing a lot taller of a player, but these guys are actually pretty short. There's a couple players that are shorter than I am. I mean, I've you know, stood next to Keith Thecoin when he was with the Capitals, and I was like, this is a pretty tiny guy, but he's got some grit. The ECHL, though, man, these guys are full of fire. You can tell they're fighting to stay on this team. I was lucky enough to see the first professional game of Sergei Kostenko. He debuted on Friday, and he gave up 3 goals in the third period, and they were, you know, right after the other, because almost a line brawl broke out, and they were fights like you wouldn't believe. I have the first one recorded, and I put it up on my YouTube page, and I tweeted that out there over the weekend, the first fight, but that wasn't even the bad one. Like, these guys, they were up against the Titans. It was the Trenton Titans, I believe, in New Jersey. So it's one of their rivals, and these fights were breaking out. I mean, we've brought this up before. It was like watching Goon, the movie, because these guys were in these tiny arenas with not that many people, and they were busting each other up. And you could tell some of the players were taking it personally. At the end of the game, they had to separate the two teams after the whole game was over and made sure they each went down the right tunnel to get to their locker rooms, because they still wanted to fight when the game was over. So even though it's two levels under the NHL, the actual play might not be to the NHL level, but the heart and determination of these players, it's all there. You can tell just the sport of hockey, no matter where you play it, there's always that fire that's in your belly if you're a hockey player.
Well, at that level, you're certainly not playing for the money. You're definitely playing for the love of the game. And that's why I guess you see a lot of these fights, because people just get so fired up and so excited that they get to go out there and just play a game and play the sport that they certainly love and enjoy playing. But that's good. It's good to know that the game's still being played, at least somewhere over here in the U.S., even though, unfortunately, it's not at the NHL level. But as we talk about Reading, they are currently first in their division at 23-7-2, which is good for 48 points. They are 15 points up on their second-place team, the Elmira Jackals. So that's pretty awesome for them. I'm sure that huge winning streak they had earlier on in the season certainly helped them get this big lead. They're doing very well. Philip Grubauer, he and defenseman Denny Urban were named to start for the ECHL All-Star Game. So congrats to them. That's pretty awesome. Hopefully we'll see Grubauer winning some AHL Goalie of the Months for the Hershey Bears once this whole lockout nonsense ends.
That's what we're all hoping for. The Reading Royals, like you said, if you can go up there, man, and check out a game, definitely do it. It is a bit of a hike for a 7 o'clock game, so if you want to hit one of the Sunday games up at 4 o'clock, if you live a little bit south like we do, it is a two-hour drive from Baltimore. At 11 at night when we were driving back, we were able to shave off like 20 minutes of that time, but it's still, hour 42 hours each way. So it's definitely something that you got to go up there for the game as well, because unlike DC, where there's a couple places you can kind of hang out at before the game, don't know if you really want to be hanging around anywhere around Sovereign Center, because it didn't look like the most brightly lit, safe areas. So you're definitely going into the Sovereign Center the second you get there. And I will say one thing, though, man, Reading. I know our buddy, We Bleed Purple, he's a guy who really loves the Reading Royals, and he tweets about those guys. Definitely go check him out. One of the things you guys got up there, and you're known for it at the Sovereign Center, is crab fries. I'm coming from Baltimore, so I'm sorry, you guys. Your crab fries were good. I got them, but you can't call them crab fries and use an imitation Old Bay seasoning, because that's just that's not cool.
Wait, how do they have crab? Isn't Reading landlocked?
It is landlocked. That's the thing. And we're like, all right, well, they got crab fries, and we went up there, and it's French fries, and they put something that's kind of like Old Bay on the fries. It was a lot of garlic powder, my buddy Barry said. So even though the crab fries were good, they were tasty. Can't call them that. You got to use Old Bay. You got to use Old Bay. No, I'm not. I tried them. I liked them. they. If you do want to go get some stuff from Philadelphia, though, they do have really good stands that have cheesesteaks and stuff like that. I just went for the crab fries because I'm from Baltimore, so of course I'm going to judge these to the highest expertise, since that's what Baltimore is known for. But if you're going to do crab fries, you got to use Old Bay. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I have yet to go up to a game. I have been to a Hershey Bears, been to a couple. I have yet to see the Hershey Bears win a game, though. So next time I go up, if you guys want to hook me up with a win, that'd be great.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, actually, maybe I won't go. They seem to be doing a lot better. And maybe if I go up, I'll end up causing them to start losing. So, maybe I'll just stay away.
That's good, because pretty much when we did this show before we were on iTunes and you were kind of saying who was going to win the West for the playoffs, you got every single one wrong. So don't say who you're favoriting. don't go up to Hershey. I think that's the best thing.
I am the vote of death.
Well, I hope you're not going to, give out any predictions for the World Juniors, which is actually going on, because we do have some Caps prospects. But, it's our home country, USA. They're not doing too bad, I got to say.
No, they're doing all right now. They're not doing too bad. They are currently going to be playing Canada Thursday morning in the semifinal game, so the winner of that goes on to the World Junior Hockey Championship. Riley Barber, Caps prospect, sixth-round pick, is playing for U.S. He's got three goals and two assists in five games, so congrats to him. He's doing really well. And then a couple other Caps prospects, Philip Forsberg and Christian Juice. I believe that's how you say his last name, but I have no actual idea. They and the rest of Sweden will be taking on Russia in the semifinals. So hypothetically, we could have a U.S. versus Sweden final. We could have a Caps prospects versus Caps prospects playing against one another in the finals. If only Tom Wilson had made the Canadian team. Unfortunately, he got cut from the team. But if he had made it, one way or another, we would have potentially had Caps prospects going up against one another. Potential future line mates in Wilson and Forsberg, you never know. Or Barber and Forsberg, because this Barber kid, he was a six-round pick. He's doing really well playing on the first line with Alex Galchenyuk of the Montreal Canadiens. So we'll see how that goes. But they're doing really well. So if you feel like getting up very early Thursday morning, depending on when you check this out, you can watch those games, or you can be like the rest of the world and DVR it.
That's what I've been doing, man. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying these games. I'm enjoying any hockey I get to see at this moment. But this has been kind of fun. I've been DVRing any U.S. or Canadian games going on. U.S., man, they really took Germany to town. Made Germany look like they've never been on skates before.
What's hockey?
that's what they were kind of thinking. So they look good there, but the U.S. didn't look as great against tough teams like Russia and Canada. So this is really going to be an interesting semifinals, and bronze and gold medal games coming up. And if you're listening to this before January 5th, the bronze and gold medal games are going to be on at 4 a.m. and 8 a.m. We'll see if they actually you see who gets in there.
I will be watching none of those live.
No, I won't. I maybe the 8 a.m. one, maybe. But I'll be DVRing both of those and getting up maybe around 10. I mean, I just got back to work, so I'm pretty tired after the holidays. So kind of interesting, and hopefully we can go from a gold medal game into a week of training camp and then have some NHL hockey back.
That would be nice.
That is the goal. That is the goal. I'm reading. You just retweeted something 3 minutes ago. League is waiting for players' reaction to their response tonight. Both sides are currently in caucus. So I guess that's a good time for us to wrap up if the NHL and the Players Association have taken a break from each other.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. And it certainly doesn't seem like anybody stormed out of any meetings lately. So that's certainly a good sign. We'll see how this goes. It seems to be optimism around, but I don't think we're going to have a resolution tonight. I don't think they're going to come out and go, whoop, the lockout's over. I think this is still going to take a couple of more days, and maybe we'll know more over the weekend.
Hopefully it's ending soon. That's what we all want it. But, you know, if anyone sees Gary Bettman or Bill Daly with a phone in their hands, you rip it out of them because they are not allowed to leave voicemails for Donald Fair this time around.
Yeah, nope.
Not allowed to do that. But hey, if you want to use your phone and tweet to me, you can do that. I'm on Twitter, at Brando Cash is where you can follow me. I'm constantly tweeting about all kinds of stuff, especially hockey. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter too, and he's always talking about anything going on in D.C. with the Redskins making their run for the postseason and the Capitals and all that other stuff. So where can people tweet you at?
Well, you can always find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, and you can always follow the show at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But Brandon, what about your network and all of your other shows?
That's right. If you like What the Puck or any of the other shows on the at Brando Cash network, make sure you go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. We'll give you all the information about this show, all the other shows, and special stuff coming up in 2013. We got a big year planned. We can't wait to tell you guys some of the stuff we have in the works. So definitely go like us over on Facebook. If you like What the Puck and you're local to Baltimore like me, go over and listen to The Call. It's my Baltimore Ravens podcast. And, of course, next week, my buddy Josh and I will be talking about Ray Lewis and the impact of his retirement that he announced today. So big news over in the football world, and it's all over Twitter if you're on Twitter. I mean, even The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he tweeted about it. So,
well, they played together.
Yeah, they did. Down in Miami.
Miami, yeah.
So, yeah, big news about that.
That's a random connection.
It really is, yeah. Could you imagine being on a team opposing those two? My God. Had to
Ray
be
Lewis
scary.
Would jack you up, and The Rock would beat you up.
Crazy stuff there. But any way you want to help us, make sure if you're listening to us outside of iTunes, go over to iTunes, search What the Puck Podcast, click subscribe. Make sure you leave us a review. Helps us kind of build some cred over in the iTunes world. And of course, if you like What the Puck, and we're helping you out when there's no hockey around, make sure you tell people about it, man. Go over to Facebook. Tell them about it. Tweet it. Take a picture of the logo of What the Puck and say, I'm listening to this now. Post it on Instagram, and then Instagram will steal it and put it on their own commercials. Go on to Tumblr. Go on to Pinterest. Pin it. Pin us. That's cool. We can do that. Go over to Tout. Make a 15-second video telling people to listen to it. I don't know what else is out there. Fat? Feeb? I don't know. Make up your own social network and then tell people to listen to What the Puck on that network, because we're trying to get there as much as possible. That's it for this week. Hopefully we'll be back next week talking about actual hockey and training camp starting up, and we won't be talking about anything going with the lockout. Hopefully these talks go the way we're all hoping they go, and hopefully no one just, you know, runs away crying. But anyway, we'll talk no matter what happens, whether we're going to have hockey or not within this next couple months. We'll still be talking here on What the Puck. So, Coach Dan, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week.
This has been a production